What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 3rd, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Battlefront 2's Janina Gavankar.
Hello!
How are you?
I'm so happy to be back.
Yeah? Here's the thing. You've been on the Game Over Greggy show before.
I have.
You gave us half of a show. Because you had to run away. Anthony Carboni was there, everybody! We had to go talk to Anthony Carboni in the Star Wars show.
Yeah, it's true.
I did not expect you to be able to come back, like, what, with 2 weeks? A week, pretty much?
We're 2 weeks out. This is insane. I mean, if you pre-ordered, you're going to play it early. But basically, 2 weeks.
How's it feel?
And it's out. And I'm so stressed out.
Yeah? You were talking about you're like in this vortex of work, right?
Yeah, basically. Okay, so I'm excited to be here, but everybody needs to know that I have not seen life or done anything or been able to play a thing. That's not true. I've been playing a few things, but not the way that I'm used to.
Sure.
And I don't know shit about shit.
Okay.
That's not normal for me. So I might be kind of dumb today.
No, you're fine.
Well,
kind of funny
know,
games
I might
daily.
I feel kind of, whatever. Anyway.
It's all about the news. It's what's happening
yeah,
right now.
I don't know what's going on.
We're going to give you a rundown.
Yeah,
a bunch
I
of people
be
are
watching,
closing down.
Hosting,
things are happening.
Fine.
Don't worry.
I'm going to learn. Here we go.
We have the end questions for you.
Okay.
About Battlefront, about
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, sure. Those I can handle.
Of course. But first, congratulations. I know what a big deal this is for you, and you're so close. You're right there at the finish line.
I can't believe
the
it.
The star of Star Wars Battlefront 2. How's that sound? How's that feel?
Weird. It still doesn't sound real, and I've been doing it for a year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I can't believe. I would probably be crumbling under the pressure if I wasn't so honored and so excited.
Well, I can't wait to talk about that. But first, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, you can watch it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. But remember, we don't look at the chat. We're making a polished podcast. Instead, if you want to be part of the show, you have to write in to kindafunny.com/KFGD. However, if you are watching live, keep us honest. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what facts we screw up so at the end of the show we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping, holy shit, Extra Life's tomorrow. 24 hours of games here on twitch.tv.
Do you know what you're playing already?
Yeah, we're all over the place. We're going to do some Friday 13th.
Okay.
Play with the kids. I'm going to try to platinum Destiny.
Okay.
We're playing, there'll be a world championship match for the Kinda Funny world title.
Uh-huh.
All sorts of stuff. Cool. Don't worry about what we got going.
Yeah. All right. I might stop by.
You're here the weekend too?
Well, I'm here for like a cool EA event tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know what the schedule is.
Okay.
I would love to though. If
literally
you're like going
24
into-
hours right here in this building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Starting tomorrow at 10.
I might.
If you're watching live, of course, as soon as, or if you're just watching later, you can go to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames right now. We're hosting the community Kinda Funny extra live streams right after this going throughout the weekend when we're not on the air. You can get the whole rundown, of course, at kindoffunny.com/extra life. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen?
Why? You don't. There was no gusto there. You know?
It's going to be a long weekend.
It's going to be a long weekend, says Joey. All right, I'll give it to you.
Wait, tell me things to do because I don't know. Otherwise, I'm just going to be quiet.
I'm going
to
read.
You got to give me, like, point to me when you want me to do a thing.
Well, I'm going
to
read the news. All right.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk about what the news story was. That's easy.
Let's go.
Here's the one thing, though. After we do number four on the Roper Report,
yeah,
we're going to talk about it. And then I'm going to go, that sounds great, but that stuff's not out yet. Janina, if I wanted to know, blah, 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 mom and grop shops kind of thing, then
yeah,
you read that entire thing there, the official list that's bolded and underlined.
Okay.
That's really the only thing we're looking to you to do. Outside of that, I mean, you're going to talk and be on the show,
you know,
and ask questions.
What would have been great is that if we did this off air and not live.
No, that's not Kinda Funny at all. That's not Kinda Funny games
true
at all.
That's true. It's not
we're
Kinda Funny.
We're garbage truck on fire.
Yeah, here we go.
First item on the Roper Report comes from The Telegraph. They talked to Jim Ryan about The Last of Us Part 2 trailer, about the Detroit Become Human stuff coming out of Paris Games Week. It was very controversial. Tim and Andrea talked about it already this week. Well, let's see what Jim Ryan, one of the big wigs over there at Sony, has to say. Quote, "We showed a lovely range of games at the media showcase last night," Ryan replied when asked for his take of the reaction during the exclusive interview with The Telegraph. "The Last of Us, obviously, is a game made by adults to be played by adults. I should never prejudge this, but it will probably be rated 18. I think that's fair to say. And there's that market share of people who like that sort of game. Adults who like that sort of game, and I think we cater to that. And at the end of the spectrum, there was a concrete genie, which my 8-year-old decided was the game she would like to play very much." It's an awesome looking game. I think a platform holder provides a platform and the people who makes games. Whether they're our own studios or third-party publishers, they bring the content to the platform. We provide the platform. We have to ensure the right content is played by the right people, of appropriate ages in particular. I thought The Last of Us Part 2 was a great way to end the show, and I feel very good about it. When asked about the lack of context surrounding the clip in question and whether video game publishers have a responsibility to couch such content in a different way, Ryan replied, quote, I think what we're trying to do is portray qualities of the various games we had on the show. And I think it is difficult when you have a clip of 4 or 5 minutes to synthesize a gameplay experience that can be measured in tens of hours. And again, the studio was seeking to portray a game that would be rated as suitable for adults to play, and that's what we did. Ryan went on to say he couldn't speak for The Last of Us developer Naughty Dog's intentions with the clip, but when asked if he thought it was the right thing to do at the media showcase, he replied, I do. Yeah, I do. Have you caught any of this hullabaloo in your vortex?
Oh, yes.
In your you've been working. You've been heads down. I didn't know if you caught what had happened.
Yeah,
here.
I didn't see the entire, but I mean, I saw, you know, the trailer. Sure. But I don't. Man, it's so complicated.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even when it comes to television, I'm on that, like, give me R-rated television.
Sure.
I only want to be on R-rated television.
Sure.
I want all that stuff, you know? I want to make stuff that is thoughtful for adults.
Mm-hmm.
I want things that are complicated. And that, I think, is the thing that people should be talking about the most here when it comes to the games industry. We've been around for a long enough time that we can make things that are not just archetypal, but like complicated. And
we're gonna deal with real emotions and give you real characters.
I mean, Naughty Dog does that incredibly well.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about them.
Sure. That was the thing. I think I talked a little bit on Bombcast this week, but it was the blowback after the fact caught me off guard, but I understand where people are coming from in the way that it is this conference of things you're getting, and it's God of War, and it's Concrete Genie, and it's Sucker Punch's new game.
Mm-hmm.
And then to end it with The Last of Us with no context, where it is, you know, this woman gets her arm hammered, there's
right.
a woman getting hung, all this
right.
different stuff. They come out and fight, and they kill the other person. I'm like, I get where that catches you off guard, but then for me, it's just like, well, we know what The Last of Us is, though. That's a hopeless world.
Yeah, but like,
world.
If you watch The Walking Dead, like, this
sure.
is nothing. They're, you know, they've got a guy feeding parts of himself to himself. Like,
right.
you know, it's like, spoiler. It's like not, okay.
Yeah, I hear you, and I agree. I think
you
it
was know?
Just, but it would be the,
I also am really happy that people are having these conversations. You know,
yeah.
you can feel both things. You can feel, you know, that we should be making things at every part of the spectrum, but also it's okay to be like, is this too violent? And
yeah.
actually ask yourself and figure out where you are on the spectrum for yourself.
Well, that's what good art should do, right?
Is Correct.
Challenge you to make you
Correct.
Think.
Correct, yeah. Now, if it's only just like a hack job of, you know, people slicing each other up, all right, it's going to get exhausting really quickly. But again, it's Naughty Dog. They don't do that.
Right.
You know, they tell great stories.
This is a part of a game that's going to be 20 hours long, 15 hours long.
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot more outside
yeah,
of just
you're
going to
get an entire
here.
World. You're going to be so happy to be dropped back into that world
yeah.
with those characters. And yeah, you know, I think it'll be fine.
It's that thing as well, I mean, not, I don't know, you know, Jim Ryan's like, he thinks it's the right thing to do. I think it is as well. I was fine with it. I know what The Last of Us is. I know what that world is. But I understand if The Last of Us was too grim, too gritty for you to be dropped into a scene that is that intense at the end of this conference that has been a million other games, maybe.
Yeah,
that's
it's a funny thing because it's like, I mean, he wasn't not going to put it at the end of the conference. It's The Last of Us, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
going to, it's the most prestigious. That's what you do is you hold the golden ticket until the end.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
just what you do.
Yeah. And it was the same thing with the Detroit stuff that came up in there where it was, you're familiar with the plot of Detroit Become Human.
Verdict sound on Detroit.
It was just, yeah.
It's not fair because I'm saying all these things because I had such an incredible experience with the first Last of Us that I'm like, oh, it's going to be fine. But
yeah.
since we don't know anything about Detroit, I'm like, well, we'll see.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
You know,
and that's
yeah.
that's been the, you know, undercurrent of the thing too of just like people who are really against it are mainly like, I don't trust David Cage with subject matter that's this serious. Where, and I understand that there's, well, how do you handle domestic abuse, child abuse in a video game? Is it weird? And my takeaway from it was, of course, that this video game is not about abuse.
Yeah.
It's about these robots waking up, these AIs waking up to that they are humans and they can go against it and they have emotions and they have feelings. And so when I watched it, I was very much like, oh, in this, again, 15-hour campaign of this robot coming to realization that
yes.
it's its own thing, this is one of those things there. And then that people are like, Well, that's the problem. It's a stepping stone. You're using it as a story device.
That's
doing this.
The question is this an analysis of what it means to have abuse in your family? Or is it just like...
This happens to motivate character to do X and then move on to the next
right.
thing.
Right. So that is where it gets a little tricky.
Yeah.
That's why archetypes are, at this point in storytelling, a little dangerous. You know, I think we're all smart enough to have complicated, robust characters at this point and themes. Especially in a 15-hour game. I mean, if it was a movie, you watch movies, they're 90 minutes. They have to get all this shit out in time and like fast and get you out of the theater. But, you know, in a game, you don't really have an excuse. If you don't do it right, it's because you didn't take the time to do it right.
Yeah. And for both these ones, I think coming out of Paris Games Week, it's just going to come down to context when you play the game. And so I think anything out of context looks weird.
But I think it's great to have all these conversations because we're only going to evolve if we keep having those conversations.
100%. Yeah. We need to challenge each other. Over at Kotaku, the number two story is that the two developers have been closed down by Perfect World. One, the developers behind Gigantic. Two, the developers behind Torchlight. Originally, this was just Gigantic, and I was talking about it all from Destructoid's point of view. They had all these quotes. But then while we were doing the morning show, Perfect World made good on their off-the-cuff... It was very weird. Mm-hmm. The Destructoid had a statement, right? And then they had a follow-up statement from the same guy who was like, I thought I was giving this to in a more of a friendly manner I might have spoken to. Because it was like, their statement was like, it was a business decision why these people closed, and there might be more. And it was like, oh, what? And then it was like this thing. So now we're just going to Kotaku because it all boiled down.
Oh, my God. Okay, go.
China-based publisher, Perfect World, this week laid off most of, and how would you pronounce this? I'm always bad at names.
Motiga.
The developer of the hero shooter Gigantic and shut down Runic Games, the studio behind the popular action RPG Torchlight and the recently released puzzle platformer Hob. Mm-hmm. An Andy Cortez approved game. He was very sad to hear about this. Both game developers were based in Seattle. In a statement, Perfect World said that it will continue to sell Runic's games and that development on Gigantic would continue with a small team of staff. Here's the statement. Following the news that Motiga has reduced the staff of its studio, Perfect World Entertainment can confirm that as the publisher of Gigantic, the game will continue to be available on our platforms. A core team of developers remains at Motiga, who will work with us to support the game and its players, including moving full steam ahead with the upcoming November update and future content. We cannot thank everyone enough for their contributions in making Gigantic the outstanding experience it is today. Perfect World Entertainment recently closed the Seattle office of Runic Games as part of the company's continued strategy to focus on online games as a service. That's going to be one that keeps coming up, Janina. We're grateful to the team for all their hard work, bringing incredible experiences like Torchlight, Torchlight 2, and Hob to life. Runic Games will remain a part of Perfect World Entertainment's portfolio of studios, and its games will continue to be available to players as we stay committed to supporting the growing Runic Games' beloved franchises. The staff reduction at Motiga and the closure of Runic Games Seattle were unrelated. Perfect World Entertainment stands committed to delivering the best massively multiplayer online gameplay experiences to our players.
Update.
Here's the statement from Runic Games. Hey, everyone. It's been over 9 years since a ragtag team of 17 developers helped open Runic Games. We've been so lucky for the community that has supported us and made us successful. Thanks to that support, we have had the chance to meet and work with the best people in the world. Our team here at Runic has released 3 successful games, and over that time, we have seen many changes. Team members got married, kids were born, but the most important thing is that we have become a family. I'm sorry to say that today will be Runic's last day open. Our focus is on our family here and helping them find a new place to call home. If you are in games and looking for some of the best talent in the industry, please email jobs@runicgames.com. For those that love the Torchlight series, there will be some news coming. And for all of our fans, our community, and multiplayer services will keep running after the studio's lights go off. It has been an amazing experience. To my family here at Runic, I know we won't be far from each other, and I'll miss seeing you all at work. I'll miss seeing you all every week. You haven't heard The Last of Us, Marsh Leffler, studio head.
Ugh. God.
Fucking video games.
It's breaking my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what I'm always talking about with developers. You know, it goes so far to have a no bullshit response and actually put yourself out there and right there. I mean, like, as somebody who didn't play their games, I mean, knew of them, but didn't play them, like, my heart breaks with them right now and for them.
This entire industry works in silos and nobody gets to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And you are working in quiet, in silence for half a decade. And then suddenly your game gets canceled and it's devastating. I was just hanging out with Amy Hennig and Todd Stashwick. And
yeah.
Oh, I almost said something. Okay. Anyway.
And Kylo Loren.
No. And the entire cast of.
Sure.
You know, the Visceral Game.
The Visceral Game. Yeah.
And
Ragtag.
I'm devastated. I'm not even in the game. I'm devastated.
Sure.
I can't believe it.
Well, I mean, you know how many people are attached to that,
I have
right?
seen a lot of the
exactly,
game.
Exactly.
It was stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning. It was Uncharted, but it was Star Wars,
which sounds awesome. And when Amy got hired there, I was like, oh my God, yes. Are you kidding me?
And I just am like making a series of noises of exasperation, but it was just so beautiful and so dope.
Yeah.
And I'm devastated as her fan, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And Todd's fan, you know, like when I found out, I was like, I texted Todd and I was like, where are you? I will drive to you right now. And a weird thing happened. It turned out that he lives exactly a block away from me. And so we just hung out for a while and then he showed me everything. And I was just like,
yeah,
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. That's when, I mean, I can't say which one, but like I was just about to start a game in January and it's a huge franchise. Not Star Wars and
Superman. This Rocksteady rumor's true,
and it just got canceled.
Oh well. Damn
I mean, it's just like this. People need to be speaking more about these things. People need to put themselves out more. People need to speak out about the process.
Yeah.
I have a thing I want to tell you later.
Okay.
That I started, but anyway.
If you don't mind me asking, on the game that got canceled.
Yeah.
No specifics. Don't get yourself in trouble. Obviously. Yeah. But what happened? Was it just...
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I just got a text saying, I'm so sorry, but it's canceled.
Wow.
And I mean, no, I know what happened. Basically, it's sales.
Mm.
Sales. You know?
Yeah. Okay. So where do you come down? Are you... While you've been heads down, working.
Yeah.
Games as a service. The death
Listen,
of the single
I don't
player.
Even play multiplayer.
Yeah.
So I'm like... that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But I also feel like the future of this industry is based on the data that we give them about our habits. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like it, then don't give it your money and support story and support specifically independent games that are story first.
Yeah.
Where your money goes is actual data that bases that these companies base what they focus on to keep their lights on.
Sure.
So just if you hate it, don't do it. Don't.
Yeah. Vote with your wallet.
You actually can make a difference, but just know that every single move you make is data that is being fed into a system that makes decisions about the entire industry.
Right. I mean, that's what's so fascinating about your game Battlefront 2 coming up is the fact that your single player campaign is there because so many people were like the first time around.
Where the heck is it? But then also, part of me is like, are we in this moment where this wouldn't exist without the multiplayer aspect? I don't know. Nobody's told me the answer to that. But like, you know, we are one part of a many moving parts game.
Yeah.
You know, when you buy that thing, you're getting a lot more than just a single player campaign.
Sure.
So is that the future? I don't know. But my bigger point is like we are clearly experiencing the shift. This year. Watching it happen this year.
It's everything, right? It's the death of single player. Here's microtransactions. Here's loot boxes. And everybody
really,
has to vote.
It's happening right now. And people just need to not just be vocal. Because talking about it and complaining about it ain't doing shit. Because if you're spending your money on it, you're sending data into a cloud that will make decisions for later.
100%.
So just be about it. So I got to say.
Yeah. Vote with your wallet. That's what we always say.
Vote with your wallet.
Number three, I got a Destiny dump for you of information. This is all from GameSpot. Trials of the Nine, of course, are back this weekend after their 2 weeks off. So heads up, that's kicking back off tonight. And then a new Faction War is kicking off November 7th through the 13th if you're into that Destiny 2.
That Destiny 2 thing.
Yeah, we'll be playing tomorrow.
What am I playing tomorrow?
No, I said we'll be playing tomorrow. Not you,
like,
you're not playing.
What do you think I'm playing tomorrow? Yeah. Okay.
What are you playing tomorrow? What are you in town for up here around? You know,
we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, sure. Number four. BlizzCon's happening as we speak, too. So I have three quick bullet points for you that happened while we were doing the morning show. Overwatch is getting a new hero. And I took this all from Kotaku, by the way. Overwatch is getting a new hero, and she looks rad as hell. Moria. I say that right, you think? M-O-I-R-A? Moria, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm going to say Moria.
Okay, cool. Is a powerful support healer with... That mixes DPS and healing. All right. Then also from Kotaku at BlizzCon today, Heroes of the Storm senior producer K.O. Milker announced that Overwatch's Hanzo is coming to the MOBA in December. And then guess what? StarCraft 2 is going free to play. Blizzard announced today during BlizzCon 2017's keynote. On November 14th, you'll be able to download the Wings of Liberty campaign without paying a cent, getting access to both single and multiplayer for free.
There's other stuff that's getting announced too.
Is it one of your games? Are you in it?
No.
I mean, you just know everything. You're an industry insider now.
I know some things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a weirdo. God, I hate you.
This has been the best year ever. It's like everything that I was hoping would happen, which is like, please talk to me, people. Please let me be involved in the games industry in any way possible.
Yeah.
Happened this year. Well, I mean, like it started with Far Cry 4, but like. Everything is so nice this year for me.
Well, yeah, now it's like I think it's the jump from what you Far Cry was for you, right? But what Battlefront is for you, where it's your face and it's your name and yeah. they're promoting you like, hey, you're starring in a Star Wars movie because
yes.
you are, and letting you come out on stage and letting you do stuff at E3 and then the audience finally getting to connect with you, right?
Yeah, and also I've been so very vocal about the games industry
yeah.
in mainstream press for 10 years now. This wonderful thing has happened. Where like maybe I'll show up with you because we're friends, but then if anyone's like, oh, that chick doesn't know, another person, five people will be like, here's a timestamp of 2008 when she said this, and here's a photo of her doing this in 2009, and like they'll straight up be like, this bitch has been trying to infiltrate for a decade, being like, anybody please let me in the club.
Yeah, no. You know? Well, that's why it's great to see you be a success and have it happen. Nice.
Anyway, whatever, okay.
It's one. No, fuck that. It's one of those things where one of us won. One of us got there. You know what I mean?
I feel like if I was going to like have a biopic happen right now, its title would be like, Try Hard Makes Good.
Yeah.
Because it's just like...
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, yeah, you've been legit for, I've known you for two, well, we've been talking on the internet for longer.
For longer,
but it was that
yeah.
thing where when we finally met, and it was like, I think it was Stone at Ubisoft.
Yeah!
Was showing me his room, he's like, oh, Greg from Kinda Funny's here, and you just jumped, you're on your phone, you went, I know Kinda Funny!
Like,
oh, yeah, hey,
I like Kinda Funny!
Yeah, and it was that thing is like, you know
games. It was
games
also the Illinois of it all, come on, let's be honest.
Of course, yeah, hell yeah, what up about it? Janina!
What?
It's cool that StarCraft 2 is coming out, and that Overwatch is getting a new character
Super
and all that jazz.
Cool.
But, that's still coming a ways out from now.
Yeah.
I want to know what came to the digital mom and grop shops today.
Where
would I go?
Well, the official list of upcoming software... okay, let me try that again. The official list of... I can't do this. I'm very stressed. Okay. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday out today.
No. You just had to do the underline parts. Slow your roll, all right? We're not going to pay you for this. Yeah. Out today. Call of Duty World War II on Xbox One, PS4, PC. Out today, Hack, GU, Last Recode, apparently.
I feel like it's .hack, but
it
okay.
It is .hack, but I'm just going to say Hack.
All right? Okay.
PlayStation 4, PC. They were riding my ass about it yesterday on the You're Wrong section because I said it yesterday. It was coming out. I don't know. Nobody's paying attention to .hack. Nobody knows when it's coming out.
I did. I just had to call bullshit.
I was at GameStop on Saturday, and a guy walked in next to me. He's like, "Can I pre-order .hack?" I was like, yeah. "All right, glad you guys are still out there." Steven Universe, Save the Lights on Xbox One,
Yay.
Mutant Football Leagues on Xbox One, and 99 Vidyas on Xbox One. We got new dates for you too. Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is getting its own Nintendo Direct on November 7th at 6 a.m. Pacific time. Then Snipperclips Plus is out November 10th, and it will feature Pro Controller / Joy-Con grip support.
Ooh.
This is also coming to the original via a patch the week after. Then Planet of the Apes, Last Frontier, that game that's already released on PSN by accident and they took down really quick, is officially out now on PlayStation 4.
I really don't know shit about shit. That happened?
November 21st. Yeah, it was up for like a couple, maybe... I forget it. It was up for a very limited amount of time while everybody freaked out about it.
Yikes. Go.
Can't wait to play that game. And then EA Sports UFC 3 on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 is coming February 2nd, 2018. As far as deals of the day for you, GameStop.
That was underlined. I that was like an intake of breath. I was ready to project. Deals of the day.
GameStop is selling PlayStation Plus subscriptions for $40 right now. That's quite the discount. It was on Amazon as well. But that's over with. Sorry.
Reader mail.
There you go. That's right. Now let's get into here. Now let's see. I want to start somewhere good with you. We're gonna start with Matt 5590. Cool. Who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, it seems like every other day game of the year gets brought up on Kinda Funny Games Daily. My question is, what's the big deal? I understand that in other industries where there is basically a single authority, Oscars, Grammys,
Emmys,
that's not
a single authority. That's like, well,
we say, I think for those are the pinnacle for their industry.
Okay, fine. Pinnacles, but they're plural.
That is representative of the industry as a whole. Like being the best of the year has great value. However, in video games, it seems like there are a dozen websites, magazines, YouTube channels, etc., giving out their own individual Game of the Year awards. When the landscape has no single authority like other industries, how can winning one outlet's Game of the Year really matter? I understand that you want your game to be the best it can be, but so much of the conversation about Game of the Year seems a bit overblown to me. What do you think? Thanks for you. Love the show. Matt from St. Louis.
I agree.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's the Keeleys, but like...
See, that would be my argument. And now, of course, full disclosure, I'm a judge on the Game Awards.
Yeah.
I think Jeff and the Game Awards, whether you love or hate them, are the...
They are the pinnacle.
Because they are the Justice League of... Kind of Funny's there, and Giant Bomb's there, yeah. And IGN's there. We have representatives that vote for one thing.
Yes, but I do think that, you know, like, having, quote-unquote, Game of the Year... it's just like it's a listicle, man. Like these publications are making their listicles, and of course they put a lot of research into it and a lot of time playing these games. And sure, you respect them, but you know it's not an award. So you're kind of saying two things here, right? So there is the pinnacle, which are the I call them the Keeleys. Sorry,
that's fine. That's
and
fine.
And then, but also, you know, people still got to write. So Variety is still writing their own, you know, their own list of their top movies, and Hollywood Reporter is doing the same thing. But then we still have the Oscars, and yeah. We still have the Golden Globes, you know. So they're both. One is journalism, the other one's an actual awards show.
I feel like part of it is why Game of the Year matters at the different outlets is because, again, as I was just talking about yesterday with review scores aren't scientific. There's no scientific method to come down to this is what the game is.
Yeah.
Games are viewed through a subjective lens of whoever's playing them and doing different things with it. And so the idea that obviously Kind of Funny, we don't play that many PC games, right? So you wouldn't come here to get a PC view of it, but you'd go to PC Gamer to find out what that is.
Yeah.
You'd come here because you know we love console games and we play, you know, certain things. You know that I'm going to talk about Patapon and weird ass shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like, every YouTube channel or site you go to is going to talk about what they like in a different way. But I understand what you're saying to what he's saying is the same thing of like, what does it matter?
You need both.
Tip of the hats is what you want. And yeah. You, as an audience member, you want to go to the places you trust to hear what they say. Also, as somebody who worked at an IGN or whatever, it's also that chance for the entire site to have a say. Whereas, like, when I gave Uncharted 3 a 10, right? Like, so by the time we got there, everybody's like, it was not a 10 or whatever. But it was like, people wanted to have their say, and that's why.
But that even happens with the Oscars. I mean, you know, things peak sometimes before the Oscars, and then there's all these conversations. Like, first of all, there are massive campaigns that these Hollywood studios put together.
I see the billboards to win.
It's not just billboards. Like, they infiltrate the system. Kinda I don't like know how they games. Do it. And basically, I took some notes and I applied it to the games industry. But I mean, sometimes you hear about a movie peaking before the Oscars, so then people don't say... people say basically the same thing, oh, that shit wasn't a 10, and then something else wins.
Yeah.
You know? But it's all timing, et cetera, et cetera. It's literally one-to-one.
Game of the Year is a big deal because I think everybody wants to have a say, but more importantly, I think... developers and publishers deserve to be recognized for doing something awesome.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah. And that's why they put it on the box, like winner of however many Game of the Year awards.
Yeah, I would love to see something that was like indie facing though. Something
oh, sure.
that was really specifically like a Sundance, you
well,
know,
you figure,
except for
during GDC they do the IGF awards, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true, but that needs more attention.
Sure. 100. Well, that's the problem, right? And that's why I think love it or hate it, Game Awards has done a great job of, you know, coming from TV and then leaving TV and still having this. It's a moment. Everybody stops.
Absolutely.
And they debut The Last of Us there. There's going to be trailers there. You know you're going to get something there.
Yeah.
The Keeleys. I like that. Jeff should just call it that from here on out.
I've never met him.
What the fuck? Really?
Yeah.
Are you going this year?
I didn't get an invite yet.
I'll make that happen. I don't know.
I'm just going to come in through the back and be like, hi, guys.
I'm putting on the thing. We're getting
okay,
the invite.
Go next.
It's happening.
Do you want me to read the next one?
Oh, sure, sure. Do Dave.
Dave says, hey, Greg.
Wait, where did Dave write in, though?
Dave wrote into the kindoffunny.com where you can also /KFGD, where you can also write in You're yourself.
It. Crushed it.
He says, hey, Greg and Janina. So with the release of the Xbox One X, Quantum Break is getting an update. Oh, side note. I did a reading of the with some of the cast of the Easter egg of that, and it's hilarious, and you can find it on
What's
the YouTube.
What's Easter egg?
Did you not play it?
I played Quantum Break. I love Quantum Break.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know how like there's the guy that keeps writing in and has like the screenplay that he really wants
to
get made.
Oh yeah. Oh. So I found the script read.
I found all of the pieces, and then I ended up tweeting like, "Who wants to do this?" Half the cast came over to my house. We did a reading. I put together a soundboard with all the sound effects, and then the writer came too.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
It's really ridiculous, and you can just watch it on YouTube.
Is that on your YouTube channel?
Yeah.
What's your YouTube channel?
YouTube.com/Janina Gavankar. It's my whole name. I'm so sorry. I'm at
That's
Janina
good.
Everywhere else.
That's great. Oh, whatever.
Yeah, but I have a lot of letters in my name. Cool Greg, maybe you can do it. Cooler Greg, maybe you can do
cool
it.
Cool Greg will find it for you.
Find it. Okay, right, go cool.
Sorry, back
to okay.
So you liked Quantum Break.
So, yeah, I dug it.
Yes, Quantum Break's awesome. Not enough people talked about it. Not enough people played it. Thank you.
Continue. Yeah, Marshall Allman, my friend from True Blood, was also in it. So I'm a little biased, but that was fun.
Oh,
okay.
A great cast.
So Quantum Break is getting an update with 4K assets that weighs in at 95 GB, everyone. That's gigabytes. You read that right. The update is 95 GB. Make an entire game come in at a total at 178. Holy shit. I get that everyone wants a 4K resolution and assets now, but this seems just like overkill. Many people still have monthly data caps, and this game would also take up 20% of, wow, that's true, of the Xbox One X's 1 terabyte HDD space. What are your thoughts on the ever-increasing size of games and updates nowadays, and what does this mean for the next generation when 4K is almost certainly to be the turn page standard? One word was on
one
the second
word,
page.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. This is a great example of, like, you know, all this talk about God, I mean, we talk about, like, games are still $60, and they've been $60 for a really long time, and that's why people are like, the excuse for loot crates is, one of the excuses for the loot crate of it all is, like,
yeah,
that the price point is staying the same, but you're seeing how much more you're getting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have an answer. That's what it made me think about it.
I mean, the thing about it, right, is that, yeah, sure, that sounds ridiculous, but it's the future knocking at the door. People do want 4K visuals. People do want something that can compete with PC. They do want these Xbox One X's and these PlayStation 4 Pros.
Can we run a poll? No, that's not what we do here.
No, we don't. We're not. Well, I mean, we could.
Shit. I want to run a poll and see how. Do you have a 4K TV? Yes or no? Go.
Do it right now. I'm going to do it and we'll have an end here on the show. Hold on.
Okay, good. I want to know.
Do you have a 4K TV?
No, I don't even have one. I'm hardly ever in LA, so it's not really worth it. Mm-hmm. I'll travel with a console, but like I'll buy a TV off Craigslist wherever I'm shooting for the 6 months I'm there.
Really?
And then sell it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's the easiest way to do something.
I'm just going to do yes, no, not because I hate when people
yes, no.
are like, what about maybe?
Yes, no. Yes, no. Binary.
I'm going to say we're going to do it for 20 minutes. We'll check.
Cool.
It.
Go.
We probably won't go that long, but we'll see.
Do you have a 4K TV?
Do you have a 4K TV? Yes or no?
Yes, no.
It's been tweeted. It's been tweeted.
Great.
Out there.
Here we go. That was fast. I'm impressed.
But I mean, the whole thing about it, right, is that
it's the future, man.
Exactly.
Like, we're boohooing about it now because it does hurt our data caps, but like, that's going to change too.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that both the Xbox One X and the PlayStation 4 Pro are there for future-proofing these consoles for the next round of TV. The next TV. I don't have a 4K TV. I don't intend.
You do not.
No.
See?
I don't intend on going out to buy a PlayStation. Well, I mean, I just got a PlayStation 4 Pro because my second PlayStation 4 finally was making enough noises where I was like, I'm going to break you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
it
might as well.
It was beeping nonstop and I was tightening the screw, but it didn't work. You know how it is.
Yeah,
you know
I know.
How these things are.
I know.
And so like, I have that and I have the Xbox One X at home because they sent us one for review.
Nice.
And it's just cool. Like, I'm not motivated to go get better visuals. I think the games look great how they are.
I think they look great because I don't know any better, is the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
You
and
know?
I'm not the whole problem with the incremental consoles and when they want to hang their hat and they look better is the fact that, well, if I cared about how great my games looked, I'd have a PC and
yeah.
I'd go through and I'd worry about motherboards and all
yes.
this stuff.
Yes. Sometimes I do, but often I don't.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get, I don't care. It's like why I'm platform agnostic. Like, I don't care. Is the game good?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, Horizon looks great on my regular PlayStation 4.
I 100% at Horizon.
Did you
and
really?
You should definitely get that DLC next week.
Are you in it? You got to disclose that. So I think, yeah, it's just a new standard as we move forward. But I think the argument for that, right, is that the next wave of consoles, when you get to a PlayStation 5, you get to an Xbox 2, and they're worried about 4K being the standard, they're going to come with bigger hard
yeah.
drives. Not to mention that maybe this is just the thing we all have to get used to managing and juggling what we have on there more.
Yeah.
I have so many games on my PlayStation 4 that I'm not deleting, but I have no real intention of getting back to.
And we're so, like, all just going to be selling plasma so we can afford more data.
Exactly. That's what's going to happen. Save us, Google.
Cool.
Now that you've said that, I want to double back to Thad Davis, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Thud underscore 12 is his username somewhere. He says, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Which has DLC next week, and you should download it.
Recently won Best RPG Game of the Year from Tiga, T-I-G-A. Have you played the DLC yet?
No, but I've seen a lot of it.
We can boot it up afterwards. Maybe. I always felt... It was a great game, but a poor excuse for an RPG. Baby's first RPG, if you will. In a year where we got Persona 5, which is criminally left out of the Game of the Year discussion, do you feel this was a pity award because the Game of the Year is going to either Mario or Zelda? What's your take on Horizon as an RPG, and do you think it'll receive similar awards just to show praise because it won't win Game of the Year?
I feel like it is talked about. I mean, I just did an interview with the Canadian something, and... They asked for my list, and I said Horizon. I mean, 100%ed it this year. So I don't know why it wouldn't.
But
why do you think it wouldn't?
Because Mario and Zelda are there to throw around their way.
Okay.
That's the thing. Up until
that's unfortunate because the new new IP is so important.
Of course.
Is it? It's also timing in the year, man. It's like release time. But that's not fair.
But that's why they were brilliant with their strategy for DLC. Hey, have you forgotten about Horizon? Yeah. The DLC drops next week in November,
go
right?
North. Yeah. See how great it is.
There's going to be stuff there for you to play and horse around with.
Yeah, meet some really cool characters.
Oh, I wonder if they sound like you or anything. Or they look like you. That'll be interesting to see.
They won't look like me.
Okay.
But.
Maybe they'll sound like you. All right, we'll check it out. Do you think you'll be doing good things or bad things in the North, the people who sound like you? A little questionable. We don't even know until we get there. Okay. We'll look into that then. It's actually a really interesting question because I do think that's going to weigh on people's mind, similar to what you just said, of how important new IP is, how crazy it is that Guerrilla came out and knocked this thing out of the park, how great this game is, how much we love it.
Weird Dutch people.
But Herman. But it is this weird thing of it is Mario and it is Zelda. And I've been the one in the office before Mario in the argument saying, I'm voting Horizon over Zelda right now. That's my game of the year is Horizon.
I think I am too.
But then I got Mario and I'm like, shit, I think I enjoy Mario.
I've not played Mario, don't know.
Mario's awesome. Really, really great.
Everybody's like, it's perfect. So it's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
So I believe them.
Yeah. But Horizon is awesome. And that is the thing when you get to these awards is that you want to give recognition. And I've been in rooms at IGN, obviously, and where it is that thing of, well, maybe we should give somebody says that of like, well, since this other game's winning game of the year, it's running away with this category. Maybe this game wins this other thing. Mm-hmm. And it's always that thing of like, well, that's not really fair. If it's up against the thing you think is game of the year, how do you debate that it should beat this, that, or the other?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's interesting. I do, and I know this is an unpopular opinion as somebody who has championed Persona 4 forever, was crazy about Persona 5 before it came out, played Persona 5 for 25 hours and loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Horizon's a better game than Persona 5. And I know that is unpopular in our community. I know the Twitch chat is on fire right now. Yeah.
Is that just because it's like RPG versus RPG?
It's because Persona's awesome. Persona's a great game. But I feel like the fact that I couldn't put Horizon down.
Horizon's not really an RPG.
Well, and I'm not even comparing RPG to RPG mechanic wise.
Okay.
But I mean, well, I guess I was that when I said I can understand that. It's a weird thing of how do you, what are we saying it's an RPG so we should only talk about the role-playing mechanics of it and how you're leveling this up or making these choices? This is an open world Western RPG.
That's insane.
Granted, it is Thad's point, it's not an RPG that you need. Baby's first RPG seems insulting. That's clearly Pokemon. But like it's not nearly as intense or intimidating as Persona 5 and systems and stuff.
Yes.
But there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, I mean I don't feel like it's actually an RPG. It just because you have like branching dialogue and you know, you can choose
which weapons and powers really, and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anyway. Moving on,
says Janina, everybody.
I just decided.
CW wrote in.
What are your thoughts on the rumor that Game Informer's cover for the next week will feature Rocksteady's next project and that it involves Superman? I saw the thread in the Reset Era, which I want to talk about. Keep up the good work.
I want to believe, but I don't want to believe.
Well, I know you do.
You know I do. You know I fucking love that Superman.
Oh, yeah,
you know
I know
I'm
you
a big
do.
Fan. And so that was the thing. I saw it. Somebody yesterday tweeted me the 4chan link, where it's like, that's where this originated, of like, I have a sister, or it was like, my sister's friend works on at Rocksteady, they're working on Superman.
Yeah.
But they used the thumb, the screenshot, mm-hmm. and maybe they just used that, I couldn't find anyone talking about it, from an old thing when we thought this was a leak from WB Montreal's Superman game. So I was like, that is already making it not look true, but...
I have no intel.
No, you're not in this one?
You're not have in this one. I got yet. Nothing in the game.
I would
one.
Love this no to happen. I mean, that was
I
always the
I know you
hope.
Do. You're giving me Clark Kent right now, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, you are.
I'm into it.
Yeah, all right, cool.
It's cute.
Yeah, thank you. No, I would fucking die if that was true. I'd be so thrilled. Rocksteady nailed Batman. I know they would nail this. I love the guys who work. I mean, full disclosure, I know a lot of them. I love the people who work over there. Mm-hmm. That would be a dream come true if they come out and they're like, we're making a Superman game or a Justice League game. I also want them to do... Have you heard the rumors of like... They were doing a Batman game, but it was Damian Wayne, but it was kind of alternate universe. It was like, that sounds... No, don't do that.
No,
if you're going to do some kind of future, do a Batman Beyond game. Leave it in the Arkham universe. But
yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. But
I want that universe to stay intact. Yeah. If they do this, please stay.
I mean, the hope would be, I would think, is like, all right, let's go somewhere different. Let's do a Superman game. Yeah. Let's see if we can make this interesting, fix all the things. And if anybody could, Rocksteady could. And then...
But I don't want like a restart. I want to
do a couple years of Superman or a couple games of Superman and then come back and do a Batman Beyond in the Arkham universe.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, come on, crossover central.
Sure.
But, you know. I love how it's called CW because they're like the
universe, or the channel. Now, what did you want to talk about with Reset Era?
So, you remember when NeoGAF went down?
I vaguely remember
when that went down.
When NeoGAF imploded upon itself.
Well, in the time it was down, I was like, what? How will I? I have no place to lurk.
Yeah.
And so I called Angelo Satira, who created DeviantArt. He also happens to be my darling ex-boyfriend, who's a very good friend of mine still. He's the person that put a controller in my hand.
Okay.
And I was like, how soon can we put up a new forum?
Yeah.
So we put one up, and it's called theforum.games, and then NeoGAF went up again.
Yeah.
And I was like, do we still need this? And we had a long, you know, like I was just like, I don't know if this is really needed.
Yeah.
So I started calling all my friends in the games industry, and it was kind of like a resounding yes.
Sure.
So we actually closed it down, made it private. It's invite and approval.
Thanks for my invite.
Only. Well, I was going to tell you about it today. Listen, we're like still squashing bugs now. Like we're texting each other, like, can we fix this? Can we fix that? Like it still looks messy. Like we're figuring it out. But we've decided to just focus the lens and make it games industry only. And basically, the diverse voices of the games industry need a safe place to talk about itself at a higher level. Mm. And like, because everybody lives in silos, we're not talking to each other. So it's a place to safely talk about resources and game theory and game development.
Oh,
and
cool.
So if you are trying to be a developer, if you want to just share your game and ask questions, et cetera, we'll have like AMAs with people. But it's like if NeoGAF is like the middle of the central town central. Wait, what are you?
Town square.
That was the dumbest shit
middle
ever.
Middle of town central.
What am I saying? Sometimes English is my only language, and I still don't really know it. Anyway, so if NeoGAF is basically like town square, we're just sort of like a speakeasy downtown and the seedy part of the, I don't know, but yeah, so please, you know, come tell
what's
us
the website again?
It's theforum.games. We have 80 members already, and it's, you know, we'll grow very slowly. We're figuring out how to scale it now, and
that's cool.
The conversation is just basically like the things that we need to be talking about to further ourselves and be better so the industry can grow together. We are we are in a moment of transition right now, and if people don't start talking to each other, shit is not going to go well. So anyway, I just wanted to make something that could maybe support that.
Is it hard being the champion of this? Not the forums, but of, hey, games are out of place. Because you're doing the mainstream press. You're getting out there, and these people usually don't really get it.
They do not get it.
Yeah.
Straight up don't get it. I have had, I'm not going to shit talk, people will not be named, but because I've been an actor for over a decade now and I've been a part of projects that have press attached to it,
yeah.
I've met a lot of people in traditional media. So I, 2 weeks ago, did a press junket day with EA that was all games industry, and it was fucking awesome, and I was so happy to be talking to people who get it. And then the next day, my personal publicist had me talking to people that I've talked to before in my career, blah blah blah, very traditional outlets like magazines that you see on newsstands, right?
At Walgreens.
Yeah, which is the only place that you go to, right?
Yeah, that's the only place I see magazines anywhere.
Yeah, right. So, and I'm, these people are just like glazing over and they don't understand why they should be paying attention. Mm. So I just started getting really sick of it and I would like do this kind of laughy thing where I'd be like, I mean, it's crazy, right? It's a game, but let me explain why you might, you know, like there is a story here. And what you might not understand is that game releases are pretty much bigger than the last 10 people you've talked to about their movies. Yeah. They're bigger than their releases. We'll just talk numbers because that's kind of a metric to how like sexy something is, right? Just money. All right. Yeah. So games like AAA games, explaining what a AAA game is, their budgets are like over $200 million. Now let's just do some math. If it sells 15 million copies, each of them being $60, go ahead, just do that math.
It's about $40.
You're really good at math. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So then their eyes go, oh my God. I go, yeah, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And then I make fun of everybody else who doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And then they're like,
I get it though. I'm in on it. Yeah.
And then they start asking me questions and then they're suddenly interested. But I can't believe that I'm still one of the first people that is doing this because I just can't imagine that the bridge, there's still such a divide. It's infuriating. Also, we don't need them. So it makes sense, you know, like this is the future of entertainment and they will all die off and actually don't matter.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I want people to know.
You're preaching the word. You want people to understand the gospel. Yeah.
How important this is. How this storytelling in this medium is so important and so immersive and so fulfilling. And I mean, God, if you're a good storyteller and you know how to make it interactive, you can. I spent 85 hours playing Horizon Zero Dawn. You know, like fuck, man. People don't get it. And it's so infuriating. I want to punch everyone. But then sometimes they get it. And that's really nice.
Yeah, don't punch the ones that get it.
No. They can come with us. The other ones will die off like the dinosaurs they are.
Final question from the readers before we get to questions that are just about you.
Oh, God. I've been talking so much already.
Ryan wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Janina.
Hi.
I absolutely loved the first Wolfenstein and I just started the second one. There was a big part in the beginning that kind of ruined my first impressions, though.
Oh.
This, he says spoilers, but I think I can say it because he doesn't say anything about it.
Okay.
He goes, the scene with the dog really hit me, and I was mad I didn't have a second option. Ooh. Scenes like that with animals usually get to me, as I have two dogs of my own, but I've never had quite the emotional response to a similar scene. Am I overreacting? Did you ever have your feelings, did you have any feelings towards this scene? Are there any other game moments that made you want to stop playing? I'm still going to finish the game, but I did quit playing last night, shortly after that part. Thanks. Have a great Friday.
That's really interesting. I'd love to know if you pick it up again. That sounds like it's like the what happened
last
in Detroit.
Of stuff. Yeah, Last of Us in Detroit, right? And the fact of I played that scene he's talking about, and I'm still playing Wolfenstein and got past it. And my reaction was like, wow, this is crazy, the storytelling they're using here and this the thing. I thought it was a shitty situation. I would have loved to gotten out of it, not seen anything happen. But it's also what we're talking about, and the fact of what I talk about all the time with the ending of Last of Us 1, where good on you. You guys got balls. You're telling me you're telling me your story. You're not giving me the, I'm going to get out of it, do this thing. You're like, no, we have a story to tell you. We have characters, we have motivations you need to understand.
Yes.
And we're going to tell you this and not flinch away and give you an out at the end.
Yeah, I'm into that. Me too.
I want to be challenged when I play games, when we're talking about narratives, right? I want to be put in uncomfortable situations and debate what I would
do. But the thing that's, again, goes back to like the difference between movies and games is it's so immersive that you are so invested that you're pissed that you can't choose something else,
sure.
But that character has no other choice.
Exactly. That's right? The biggest thing, right? That it's a, for once in a non-role playing game, we're very much role playing of like, all right, cool. I have to do this. And like, for me, I always go back to Last of Us and I won't spoil it here, but I've talked about it before. It was like, for me, that ending was such a pivotal, let's have a real conversation where I reached out to Neil and I was just like, I can't believe this happened because of, and we had this whole thing where he's like, that's not my interpretation of it. And he fucking wrote the thing, right? And we're back and forth about it. That's powerful. That's cool. That's what I want out of games.
I agree.
Public service announcement from Alex Wolf. He wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, dearest Greg and Janina, holy cow, Gary Whitta and Janina the same week. Anyway. Have you heard about this Sony Rewards program business that seems to let you earn PSN codes/rewards for getting certain number of trophies? You can go to SonyRewards.com to learn about it. Interested in your thoughts? Since I know Sony doesn't seem to have a whole lot of, doesn't seem to do a whole lot for trophy hunters. Did you see this? You heard about this?
No, I've been in a vortex.
It just happened today. So Sony Rewards is added in there. I already went there. I linked my PSN. It doesn't look like it works backwards, which means I'm screwed because I have a whole bunch of points. But you can redeem these points that you get. So you link everything up.
Yeah.
You get the platinums. You get 1,000 points. And then it's like gold trophies and silver give you less. But you can do a whole bunch of different things. But it's like right now you can get a PS4 on there for like 22,000 points. Like, there's actual good rewards in games and movies there.
So you're telling me it's like Chuck E. Cheese.
It's exactly like Chuck E. Cheese.
I'm in.
Exactly. So everybody check it out. Hopefully it's not a huge scam. They're verified on Twitter, so I don't think it is. But I gave them all my information. I was like, whatever. Time to squad up before
squad
we ask Jeannie your
up.
Questions. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, username, profile, platform you're playing on, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends find you. Everybody has a good time.
Good time.
Nightmist wrote in. He needs help on PlayStation 4. His handle is Night Mist with a dash at the end of it. So like a hyphen. Looking for leaderboard best friends to challenge in House Mark Games. After getting as far with the trophies in Matterfall as my skill level would let me, I went to check my friends' leaderboards and it was empty. Because none of them buy arcade games.
Aww.
Cry emote. I own Resogun, Matterfall, Nex Machina, Super Stardust Ultra, and Alien Nation. Everybody. If you play House Mark Games and love arcade games, even though they're leaving them behind, go friend on the PSN, Night Mist Dash. Janina.
What?
I said you were coming on the show.
Yeah.
People wrote in with questions.
Yeah.
Brandon wrote in.
I think, first of all, these two names are the same name. They're lying. It's the same person.
You know what? Brandon and Brendan, they wrote in back to back. I think that could just happen. That's random.
No, that's
enough.
Totally.
Well, Brandon wrote in. Said, what was your favorite experience while working on Battlefront 2?
Getting cast. The fact that I get to be in it, period. No, go ahead. I didn't.
He elaborates a particular, scene, day or moment. But yeah, is the moment that you got cast the your favorite moment?
I started hyperventilating for real. Like, yeah. I've said, you know, I started hyperventilating, but like my throat shut the fuck down and I had to sit down. I was shooting Sleepy Hollow in Atlanta and I had to like sit down. I just couldn't like make noise.
Yeah. How does that happen? So I don't know. So you...
The biology of your hyperventilation.
How does hyperventilation work?
I don't know. Let me just look at the end.
No.
The Britannica?
When you go and audition for this,
yeah.
Do you know it's Battlefront? Do you know what's happening?
Well, if you're a super NeoGAF lurker, then sure. You know it's Battlefront.
Okay.
They don't have to tell you, but it said DICE. Mm. It said EA and it said DICE. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
This is Battlefront. And yeah, basically I put a few things together and also my writing partner's like he knows everything about everything. Even so if I'm busy, he's the one that's like reading all of the things. So between the two of us, we were just like there's a story mode.
Yeah.
For Battlefront. Holy shit. And then of course all of the pressure just gets put on you. And I was in Atlanta and I shot it. It's basically just like any other on camera audition. So you get the sides, they're completely made up. So they're just like, it was like a hotshot pilot who like had opinions and like was like
has opinions.
Yeah, she was like really opinionated and she made a big, this is not in the game so I can tell you, but in the scene she made a big decision that went against authority but actually saved lives. Mm. So she's standing in line and they're berating her and she's actually like, fuck you, I stand by, actually, you know what? You're wrong, is basically she like calls him out. And then the second scene was like her 30 years later like recounting.
Oh.
And so basically, I put it on tape and then I sent it off. And then I was just like, if I don't get this sleep, I'm gonna die. Like, it was every day that went by, I was just, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
But I would say my favorite scene or day, so there, the thing that is so surprising about this entire experience has been how collaborative it is.
Really?
Yeah. So we had a Lucasfilm story group member with us every day. Mitch Dyer, who you know and
worthless,
love.
Terrible person.
He was in town yesterday. Did he come by?
Yeah, he was in town this entire weekend.
Yeah.
He did a day where he did breakfast with my wife, Jen.
Good.
Played Mario all day. Then I came home and we went to a late
lunch
and played Mario
nice.
All afternoon.
Okay, good. So Mitch was there every day as well. So was Mark Thompson, who was our creative director. And So, and Tom Keegan, who is the cinematic director, he also does so many other games, one of which is Wolfenstein. Mm. The best actor's director I've ever worked with in any medium. Wow. I'm obsessed with him. I'm trying to find some time to put together a masterclass so he can teach directors, including me. Like, he's incredible. Incredible. He expects a lot from his actors emotionally. So anyway, best day was there was a scene which is a really big crux in the story. And we basically threw away the script and started improvising the entire scene just to really get at the subtext of what we were saying. And then Mitch was there and he rewrote the entire scene based on our improv. And that is what you're actually seeing in the game.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that is... It's a Star Wars, guys. Like, it's a playable movie. So I can't believe they let us do that.
Sure, sure.
We also worked with military consultants who were there making sure, like, literal Navy SEALs, making sure that we were moving in a way that you would move in battle.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait to play this thing. Potato Face probably can't either. He wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "What's up, Greg and Janina, and welcome to my first question on Kinda
that's
Funny
a real
Games
tee
Daily.
Up.
My question is for Janina in regards working in mocap. What is your favorite and least favorite thing about working in mocap suits and leaving most of the props up to your own imagination while shooting? Have you worked with mocap before, and how does it relate to actually shooting something live action and on an actual set? Thanks, and may the force be with you."
Okay. Worst thing. What is the worst thing? Oh, the only thing that's bad is, like, sometimes you'll each studio has a different system of dots and different makeup. You know,
I know, yeah, exactly.
So, like,
yeah, yeah.
So for Far Cry 4, that was my first time doing performance capture. It was dots that was basically a grid on your face. For Battlefront 2, we have these sort of, like, exclamation points on your face. I'll try to find a photo. And so that was a little different, but still using black eyeliner, essentially liquid eyeliner. But some studios use this green, bright ass green paint, and shit doesn't come off.
Oh no.
It doesn't come off. And if you have sensitive skin, then, you know, and you have to be on camera
the next day
for TV or movies. Okay. That's the worst thing. So whatever. High class problems. So favorite thing about performance capture. When you go to theater school, the first thing you do is you roll around on the ground and you learn how to get the fuck over yourself. You lose your vanity. Vanity is your enemy. If you can get out of yourself, you can put on somebody else's skin. That's the first thing you do. Then you get put into this industry, not in this industry, the television and film industry, especially as a girl, you have to put at least some of that vanity right back on yourself to even get hired once. Mm. I had a really, really hard time with that when I joined Hollywood.
So what does that mean? Like, coming in high heels and a nice dress?
Yeah,
and
just
stuff.
Like getting skinny and shit. Mm. Like the unsaid rules that are put on you. And there were times when I had my shit together to that regard and I got hired, and there were times when I didn't. And if you look at my IMDb, you can see which years I got a little comfortable. I mean, it's some real shit, guys. Anyway, whatever. So that specific thing is vanity, and you get it knocked out of you in theater school, but to be able to exist in the industry, you got to put it right back on.
Interesting.
Right? When it comes to performance capture, zero vanity. Zero.
Yeah.
It's like this beautiful, magical little world between theater and film, because you show up and you just do the work, man. You don't worry. You don't have to sit in the makeup chair. You're not worried about your hair. You're not worried about, like, can we set up this? You know, she's looking a little the under eyes today. So, you know, we're going to have to move these lights. And then you stop for a fucking hour so they can put some lights around you to make you look beautiful,
not tired.
whatever the metric is of beauty in that year, you know. So, like, all of that stuff goes away. It just goes away, and you can just delve right into what's on the page and world build together. And of course, there are challenges. Like, there are no, there, your prop is a piece of cardboard and suddenly it's got to be whatever, you know, like,
sure.
But okay, you just turn the imagination up to 11, you know, and that's fine. And that's more exciting, I think. Anyway, that lack of vanity makes it so liberating. And yeah.
That's awesome.
That's my favorite part about it.
That's awesome. I'm so proud of you.
Whatever.
I can't wait to play this game. Don't screw it up, all right?
I'm so nervous.
It's Star Wars. Don't screw it up. It's just a little bit of a deal. Time to check in with You're Wrong. This is where the live viewers, they go to kindoffunny.com/You're Wrong. Tell us what fact we screwed up as we screw it up. So at the end of the show, we can set the record straight for everybody watching on youtube.com/kindoffunny.
That's amazing. So like everybody who's done it for what we've said between the two of us.
Sure.
Oh, I like that.
Because it's a newsy day show and I'll do the whole thing where I'm like, how many things was it or whatever.
That's so good. How did we do?
People are still trying to correct me about hack from yesterday.
Got it.
Yeah, exactly. If Luca Wolf popped up today and says, on yesterday's show, you said the .hack/g.u.lastrecode released yesterday, but it actually released today on PlayStation 4 and Steam. Also, the title is pronounced .hack/g.u.lastrecode. She already corrected me on that, but thank you very much. A sly otter. When speaking on the Last of Us trailer, Greg misspoke and said a woman was hung. I think he meant hanged. See, they know what I want. They know if I fuck up a release date or a number, that's the correction I want. But right. They want to just ride me on this stuff.
Right.
God damn it. I fucking hate it.
Can just, I just read them? I want to tell you all the things that we've done wrong.
Sure. You got the last
Hopefully
two there.
Hopefully it's you? Just you.
Last. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, so.
Is it you?
I don't want to say this out loud. It's so sweet.
If it's editorial. Okay, go on.
Pascal Durbin, .Durbin says, at the start of the podcast, Janina stated that she wouldn't know anything factually incorrect. Janina knows her shit.
Truth.
It's really sweet. Thanks, guys.
Like a beatnik cafe.
That means a lot to me. Okay. Joe_Coma says, new release. This might qualify as breaking news as well. Star Wars just announced an AR game called Star Wars Jedi Challenges available today for $199. Here is a link. Comes with a headset, lightsaber controller, and tracking beacon. Plug in your phone and fight Darth Vader. Or who wrote this? Just like have me read it perfectly. Sounds cool. Hope it works. When will they just make a Star Wars PSVR game? P.S. Sorry if this is editorializing. First time posting / watching live.
No, you did great. That was a really
good
one.
That was great. Thank you.
That's the kind of thing we need here.
And yeah, I knew about that.
Are you in that one too?
Nope.
All right, good. You just know everything about everything now.
Yeah, because I signed an NDA, so I get to like say, you're safe. You can tell. You can just say it. Yeah.
I'm screwed no matter what. I'm a lock and key here.
It is the coolest, man. I've signed NDAs with different companies so I can walk into rooms and just like, all I've ever wanted was just to be able to sit on the wall, like a fly on the wall and just be like.
How much do you know about E3 next year then?
I actually don't know much about anything.
Okay. But there's going to be titles that get released and you're like, or announced. You're like, I knew that was coming. Like,
yes.
Start texting me when that happens. Whenever they start, just like, I knew about that one too. Also, to recap for you, do you have a 4K TV? About 2,300 people voted. No. 58% no. 42% yes.
Way bigger of a number than I thought
it's
we're going to have it.
Yeah. Samoa Joe from WWE responded, is a duck's ass watertight? God damn it, Joe. He has one. He has one is what he's saying.
Cool.
Because he's Mr. Cutting Edge. I'm all over there.
Cool.
Fucking Samoa Joe. He's a coward, too. Hasn't shown up on this show.
Cowards.
Any of our kind of funny shows. You know what I mean? For years, been hounding me. Whatever. I digress.
Not your problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 3rd, 2017. We will, of course, be back with Kind of Funny Games Daily next week. Tim will be the host on Monday. But remember, as we sign off right now, Extra Life officially begins for Kind of Funny.
Oh, shit!
Right now on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. No matter when you hear this over the weekend, they are streaming games. We're going to go to the community now. The community's going to stream until we pick up the baton tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time, trying to raise $100,000 for the big, beautiful kids at Extra Life.
You Please, can do it!
Kindoffunny.com/Extra Life. Come watch us be goons, hang out. Be best friends. Remember, each and every weekday, you can come here. Kind of Funny Games Daily. Nerdy news.
No, you can't actually come here. I can give you the address if you ask me really nicely. No. I can.
It's not.
We just tweet it out.
It's not a secret. We show photos of the comic shop all the time. People could put it together if they wanted to.
That's true.
We have people once in a while come by. They yell at us. We can't come out, though.
Fuck you. This is what you got wrong.
Fuck you, man. Lair was great. ladies and gentlemen, this is Janina. She's amazing. Follow her on Twitter.
At Janina. Then Instagram at Janina. It's like, oh, yeah.
Do that. What else can they do to support you right now? The forums?
Oh, yeah. If you know, for real talk, if you are in the games industry, if you want to become a dev, if you want a place to talk about games and learn from people in the games industry, apply at theforum.games. We'd love to have you come. And
I'll put it in the YouTube description so you can click on it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, this thing's going to grow slowly, and it's a quality, not quantity kind of conversation, and we'll see if it's a necessary thing.
Well, you were fantastic today.
I had no idea what I was supposed to do today.
But you did it. You crushed it. You're welcome back anytime.
Thanks, dude.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you. You got to shake my hand now. This is the thing we do. There it is.